Matthew, filling in for Pastor Eugene, and this is Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. It seems that the world is so concerned today with the idea of freedom. But what does the world do with that freedom? And what does the Bible say about what we as Christians should do with the freedom we have been given in Christ Jesus? Let's listen in as Pastor Jim expounds on the important topic of freedom.
Good morning. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and find the 13th verse. That's where we'll start. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit against the flesh. For those things are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to share in your word, to worship you. We want you to be glorified, Father. Speak today through this text to those who hear this message. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. As we've been going through this study, those people in the Galatian churches had been tricked, had been fooled. What's another word? Hornswoggled. Is that the word? Something. Somebody had come along and had led them astray. And we've seen how they knew the truth, how they had received the truth with joy, but when the liar came, they began to listen to the lies. Now, folks, right off the bat, just kind of rewind. Easy sometimes to listen to the lie instead of the truth. Because the lie always addresses some sort of need that we have in our mind and in our wicked heart, in the darkness of who we are, that we want to have fulfilled. Of course, when Jesus spoke the truth, people just loved it, didn't they? They loved it so much that they plotted and plotted and plotted. That's how much they loved the truth. When Jesus told them truth, they said, oh, we can't hear this. Who can follow such things? And many went away. So as we come to this 13th verse, for you were called to freedom. He's been repeating that, hasn't he? As we've gone through this, you've been called to freedom. You have been given freedom for freedom's sake. You've been called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Our freedom isn't simply for us. Our freedom comes for the glory of God, doesn't it? Why was man created at all is for the glory of God. And in sinful man, God is not glorified. So our salvation comes for the glory of God. And our salvation is what brings us freedom. So it goes to a very clear, easy understanding that freedom is for the glory of God. And yet we use the freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But most of the time when you hear those words come out of somebody that I will go ahead and sin and then repent later,
It's because they do not have freedom anyway. They are bound to the sin that they're going to commit and then pretend to repent because they're so convinced that they're smarter than God. I'm serious. That's what they think, isn't it? I must be smarter than God because I can do what He tells me not to do. And then all I got to do is say these magic words and God doesn't have any choice, but He's got to forgive me. Do you think God has to do anything that is against His will? There's nothing that He has to do. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." So if we take Peter and we take Paul and we put those two together, our freedom is for us to serve God with, or to glorify God with, and each other. That kind of reminds me of a challenge that came to Jesus. "Teacher, tell us, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your strength, all your might. And the second is as the first. Love your neighbor as yourself." Part of the freedom that we have received to serve Christ. But oh, things get in the way, don't they? Our own fleshly desires and pride. In Jude chapter 4, it says this, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." That's what happens when we choose sin. When we choose the flesh over the Spirit, that's what has happened. We are denying the Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Do you suppose that these Judaizers who came into the Galatian church told those people, "We oppose Jesus Christ"? Of course not. They said, "If you really want to follow Him, this is what you got to do." They didn't tell them they would be denying Him. But that's what living in the flesh does. 1 Corinthians 8:9. "But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." Over the years, I've had, I don't know how many discussions with people about alcohol. Somebody will come to me and say, "Oh, well, alcohol's a sin." You know, the Bible does not specifically say that. In fact, Timothy, we see Paul tell him to take a little wine, but when we listen to the Word of God, we see the full picture. If our right to have a drink becomes a stumbling block to somebody, guess what it has become? Sin. Now, we know that all forms of drunkenness, we have it here, are sin. All forms of drunkenness. We believe it so much that we have put that into our covenant when somebody joins the church, which hangs above the pump organ out here in the hall. If I decide that I have the liberty to have a drink and somebody sees that does not have the same control that I have to keep it from being sin, and it becomes their way of drunkenness, am I not guilty of sin for having been a stumbling block? Folks, we need to live in such a way as to honor God. The very saddest thing of this is that the one that stumbles me the most is me. How about you? Who causes you to stumble the most? Is it not you? Because we have taken our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. This is what the liar does. 2 Peter 2:19. "They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved." Because our freedom needs to be for freedom's sake, for the glory of God. And when we use it as an opportunity of the flesh, then we have stumbled and tripped over ourselves. Verse 14, "The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If we are walking as we should, it'll be evident in our relationship with people. They may not always like what we have to say, because if they are lost, they will never love God's Word. They will like pieces of God's Word. "Ask and you shall receive." Who wouldn't like that, right? But they don't like the whole of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 9:19.
For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. I wanted to put this in here because as we look at the issue of the circumcision that the Judaizers are trying to get them to do, the circumcision is not the issue, is it? Paul tells them that either circumcision or uncircumcision is of no value, only Christ. So the circumcision itself is not what the problem is. It is what they think the circumcision gives them. They're trying to earn, by doing an act, a work, a deed, that God would owe them salvation. And we look at that, and don't we think that's foolish? As people who have been in church, who have heard the truth, we think that that is so foolish. Have we truly examined ourselves? I don't think there's anybody here who's running out to get a circumcision so that they can be saved. But there is people right here in this room, there are people listening to this online who are trying to do something for God's favor. Time after time after time. And you know what this leaves them? Frustrated. Because they can't find the thing that gives them satisfaction. They can't, because it doesn't exist. And in a lack of satisfaction, we do not love our neighbor as ourselves. We do not go out and do whatever we can for other people. We are so busy trying to earn God's favor. So we might make a show of helping somebody, but it's not for the help. It's not for the glory of God. It is one more feather for our cap for God to owe us His salvation. I will never tell you that works have no place in the church or in the Christian, because it's very clear that we were saved to good works. We were saved to good works, not saved by good works. But what ends up happening is this in verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. We see this, don't we? We see this in churches where people say, oh, I'm a Christian and I'm a Christian, and they're constantly bickering, constantly backbiting, constantly slandering each other. And the world looks on and says, yeah, that looks real good to me. I better go be a part of that. I don't think so. I don't think so. Sometimes this takes place because in our own minds, we are so much that we have to show our superiority in thinking, in doctrine, to somebody who does not have the same place. If we are doing what we should be doing as a Christian, then we are growing. We're not in the same place today that we were a year ago. We were not in the same place a year ago that we were the year before that. And if we're doing as we should, we will not be in the same place next year that we are today. Our understanding will grow. Our maturity will grow in Christ. But we get derailed. And we make it all about me. My needs, my wants, my desires, my likes. That's the reason churches will split over the color of the carpet. That's the reason that happens. And it happens all the time. But brothers and sisters, we will not be allowed as Christians to live in such a way as to dishonor the name of Jesus Christ. If you are His and you are in sin, you will either repent and turn away from that sin, or He will take you to the pit, if not out. And friends, I have prayed for God to take people to the pit. I have prayed for God to take people and crush them so that they could be rebuilt. Not to destroy them, to rebuild them. That they can become that man or woman of God. And folks, if we are taking liberty for ourselves and not for Christ, we stand in the middle of the road that will cause us to be crushed. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. If we want to live as Christ would have us to live, then we want to be treated with respect and love, and we want to give that. But we're a vengeful people. What does the Bible say? Without me having to give
any hints. What does the Bible say about revenge? It's the Lord's. We all know that, don't we? Is there anyone here who did not know that, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? Not a hand. Because we all know that. And yet, he has to repeat that over and over in Scripture because we do not love him and we do not love our neighbor. And it shows. In Leviticus 19, verse 8, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. There's a way that we're to live. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. This is how we are to live. And that one horrible person keeps getting in our way. Actually, there's three of them, isn't there? Me, myself, and I. That person keeps getting in our way. Philippians 3:2 says, look out for dogs. Look out for evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Look out for evildoers. Look out for those who do not belong to God, because they will lead you astray, given the opportunity to. There is a standard for us as Christians. We hear the stories of the Bourbon Street preachers. The preachers who go into places that preachers shouldn't go into. Those Christians who go into places that Christians shouldn't go into, with the idea that they're going into these dens of iniquity to save the souls inside. Sure sounds nice, doesn't it? Everyone I've ever seen or heard of that did that may have some small victories, but they end up falling. They end up falling because the influence of darkness on our heart, on our life, is stronger sometimes than the influence of light, of goodness, because that's what we are bent to. We are bent to the darkness. So Paul tells the Galatians, as they are going to the darkness, thinking they have to do these rituals. In fact, in our text a week or two ago, he said some of them were even celebrating the moon festivals. They were joining the pagans and the pagan religions and those things that they did. Paul says in verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the problem. We walk in the flesh instead of the Spirit. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we do not gratify the desires of the flesh. And every one of us is guilty. Can I not get an amen there? Every single one of us walks in the flesh so often that we do not recognize what the Spirit is to walk in. If you don't believe me, let me give you some examples. Flipping through the channels, and you pass something on a channel that catches your eye, immediately you know it's not something you should watch, but you hesitate there for a second or two before you go on. I'm sure no one's done that, right? Or something happens, and immediately you're angry. Or you see someone of the opposite sex, and instead of purity, what happens is impure thoughts, or impurity, as verse 19 says. Or we turn to things that are not God, like sorcery. Folks, we fall into these categories with strife and jealousy and drunkenness. Years ago, I would never hear someone say, I'm going to go get drunk tonight. I never heard that. But it happened every night. People did that. Today, people will say, I'm going to go get drunk tonight. Why? Because they're gratifying the flesh. Down in verses 24 and 25 of our text, which we'll cover more next week, it says, all those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We are to walk in the Spirit. That means our mind and our heart need to be set on God and not ourselves and our troubles. Because we all have them, don't we? We all have a self and we all have troubles. They follow us. My troubles set up tents in my front yard. And I'm not talking about moles. We have them. They follow us. But we need to live in the Spirit where those things are not what derails us. Those things we step over because our mind is set on God. But folks, it really is an ugly thing. When we get so consumed with ourselves, and it happens to all of us on a regular basis. I'm going to read a couple more verses here. Romans 8, verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk according to the flesh, or not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Why are we to walk according to the Spirit? So that the righteous requirement of the law might be met in us. Love this verse here, Romans 13, verse 14. You know, we talk about putting on the armor of God. When somebody's going through trials, they say, well, I got to put on the armor of God. And this is true. This is what the Scriptures teach. Paul taught that. But listen to this. Romans 13, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We are to walk in the Spirit. We are to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrounded by top, bottom, left, right, front, back, Jesus Christ. In my lifetime, I can only think of one person that seemed to exemplify that in every area of their life. Only one. I've seen some people that seem really close to that. But only one. And that particular person, the first time I shook his hand, it was as if the Holy Spirit said, good to see you, Jim. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 7:23. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. There's a war that's going on. We talked about this a little bit in the last several weeks. There's a war going on in us. There is contention going on. There is sifting going on. And we're failing, aren't we? I'm failing. How about you? We're failing. But I love the Scripture when Jesus tells Peter that when the devil is done sifting him, when he's done, then the Lord will be using him. So folks, if you love Jesus Christ, then you need to turn to him. And you need to lay yourself out before him. We talk about how our nation needs to repent. To turn away from its sin and turn to God. And there's a few voices out there in the wilderness who are calling and saying the church needs to repent and turn to God. And I think that's closer to the truth, don't you? But I think it's still lacking because I think what it really needs to say is you and I need to repent and turn to God. You and I. Are we a part of the church? Yes. Are we a part of this nation? Yes. But it starts with us. It's you and I that we would get on our faces, that we would get on our knees, and we would turn to the one who can give us freedom. The one who can give us freedom. It comes from no one else. Let me ask a couple questions. Is anyone here tied up with their sin? Their sin has them so downtrodden in their heart. Is there anyone but me here that feels that way? Well, you guys must be really good. Is there anybody here who feels separated from the Lord Jesus Christ? You can say in your heart, there was a time when I felt like I walked closer to Him than I'm walking. There's one cause for that. It's called sin. And when we're in sin, we're separated. And here's what happens in our mind. And this is the evil one. He says to us, you have flat out ruined any chance you had to follow after Jesus Christ because of this sin. He doesn't have to give you the whole list. Each of us have a sin that we feel like we have done so often, so much, have asked forgiveness for so many times, we just can't even ask for forgiveness anymore because God forgive me when I keep going back to it. You ever feel that way? Why would God forgive me? Because He has promised that if you are His, He will remove all of your sin as far as the east is from. But as long as we stay in that sin, as long as we stay in it, we feel separated from Christ and afraid to ask him. I was visiting with a man one day, and I was witnessing to him, and he says to me, he says, but you don't know what I've done. I said, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't. He said, but how could God, if he's good, forgive me? Because Jesus Christ paid the price. Jesus Christ paid the price that you would be forgiven. It's a very individual thing. Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient for all the sin ever committed, but it's only efficient for those who belong to him. So if you belong to him, I'm going to call you to repent now. I'm going to ask you where you're sitting, get on your knees if you want to, get on the floor, on your face if you want to. I'm going to ask you to repent right now. Repent of those things that are going on in your life. Not so I can pat myself on the back that I led you to repentance, because I didn't. Now, you're welcome to come up here to the front. You're welcome to do it in your chair there. But I am going to kneel, and I'm going to confess my sin to my God. Please join me. Oh, Father, show us your grace as we have submitted ourselves once again under the law, as we have used our freedom as a liberty for the flesh. Father, break our hearts that they could be healed. Oh, Father, cause us to mourn over our sin, that we might be comforted by you. Father, break down the walls of those who are resisting repentance, and give to them a repenting heart. Father, so often we hate silent prayer because we don't know what to say. But by the Spirit taking our groanings and bringing them to you as beautiful prayers, we trust that you hear our hearts, and that we would turn from our wicked ways and follow you. It's in the name of Christ Jesus that I pray. Amen.
The call to repentance has never been more important in my life and in your life than right now. The sins that we commit so often in our desire for freedom have only left us in bondage. And it is only through true repentance that the chains that bind us can be broken, and we can experience true freedom in Christ. In other words, not just confessing our sins, which is important, but also, by the grace of God, turning from those sins, seeking to follow after Christ, and becoming not a slave to the law or a slave to our sin, but finding freedom in a lifetime of service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have been blessed by today's message, need prayer, have questions, or desire to partner with us in the ministry, we can be reached in many different ways. You can call us at 1-800-416-9352. That's 1-800-416-9352. Or write to us at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535, or visit us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. You can also listen to our sermons on sermonaudio.com. Just search for Light of the Word Radio or Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us today and hope you will tune in next week as Pastor Jim finishes up in Galatians chapter 5. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. On behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thank you once again for listening. And may God bless you, and bless the hearing of His Word.